Ms. Stuhlquist, I'd like to call this meeting to order, please. First thing I'd like to do is we have a consent agenda, and that's where you approve two issues that are on this. One is the meetings from the previous meeting, and the other is consideration of the revised employee handbook documents. I want to make sure that our Board of Health members have had a chance to review the minutes. And do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion or correction? Okay, so consent agenda has been passed. Public forum, this is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to us about a matter that's not going to be talked about? Okay, thank you very much. Now we're going to talk about discussion and consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park. And Margaret, would you like to be first? Would you like Mr. Lemire and Mr. Talbert to come up first? Or how would you like to handle it? If you could, please. If you, and for... yes.
I don't know why we're changing the format.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sounds good. Then what we'll do is a discussion and consideration of Crestview Mobile Home Park. Margaret, you want to come up? And just to make sure that we have appropriate names for the minutes, could you please state who you are and what your role is?
Margaret James,
Director
of Community Environmental Health.
Okay.
So, the Crestview situation, I see us as having...
Is your light on?
Yes. I see us as having two goals. One is to move the residents out and close the residential park down and then get the park cleaned up. Two clear goals. The residents, we've had 12 applications for assistance so far. I was out there on Monday and saw that there are still people living there. I don't know how many trailers are occupied, but at least one. And to my knowledge, Mr. Lemire notified the folks that they needed to be out by September 15th. And please correct me if I'm wrong. I have it right. Okay.
Very good.
All right. So, with that, now the park right now, the dangers that I see for the people living there are the asbestos, from the trailers, fires at the park, and then the construction, just the busyness of the construction and the debris going in and out. Those three things are very hazardous. I think that we should focus on getting all of the residents out, whether it be tomorrow or by September 15th, that's not my decision. Get them out before they are harmed by those three items. And then follow through with cleaning up the site. Now I have invited two folks. I see one, Kenny Kling, who is the Kelly Fire Chief, and he will come and talk about some of the fire experiences he has had there. And then also, quite possibly, the asbestos NESHAP coordinator from DNR will be here. And I have a quote from him. If he's not here, in an email he said, if these trailers have not been inspected or abated, then Mr. Lemire is in violation of the asbestos NESHAP regulation. And they were going to inspect that trail park today and get back with us on their next steps they plan to take.
And on the next what? I'm sorry?
The next steps that they plan to take in regards to that. You know, Mr. Lemire has submitted a list of 15 trailers that he has removed. To my knowledge, there has not been any asbestos inspection on those.
So one of the things that we talked about on our last meeting and our motion was that we would have 15 of the abandoned trailers removed. So are you talking about that they have been removed, but they just haven't been removed appropriately?
Yeah. Yes. Yesterday we received a list of 15 mobile homes that have claimed to have been removed. I don't know if they have or have not. They certainly, his list of ones that were removed did not match up with the ones that we had checked out there, showing, you know, because they had their junkie certificates and they were in the name of Crestview or in the name of Brandon. Some of those trailers, 4 or 5 are gone or burned, and then the remainder of those trailers are made up with trailers that were not on that list. Now that list, all I have is that, you know, the junkie certificates and the list that we removed. I do not have proof or did not receive proof that they indeed have been removed. They might be off of their rack, their frame, and sitting in a pile on the park ground.
Wasn't your understanding that he was going to hire a contractor to do this
work? And I'll
work?
Let him speak to that.
But we're not allowed to, they're not allowed to burn this stuff, especially with asbestos, am I correct?
That's correct. There was an accidental fire where 3 trailers burned.
Accidental?
You mentioned, Margaret, something about the trailers that you axed. This is an important issue for us, obviously, because the two things we wanted to have done today were to have at least 15 of the abandoned trailers removed and a timeline for closure of the park, which we were going to approve at this meeting. So you said that there are trailers with X's on them that you had abandoned. As, were there more than 15 abandoned trailers on the park before when we started? And so we both, and Mr. Lemire had, we'll actually have you be able to speak, of course. But Mr. Lemire has told you that he did remove 15.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not me specifically, our contact person, Marty.
So,
we were presented with a list of 15 bins that were corresponding with demolition paperwork that had been accrued over a period of time, and we've had, I'd say, I would defer to the treasurer's office this morning to what they found in looking those up, but anecdotally, I had a meeting yesterday with Mr. Talbot and meet them, and then I'd gone to the park afterwards, and there's been, having gone through the park 5-6 times here in the last 2 months, there's a lot that has changed. And the fact that there's many open spaces and the park is not a static place, things get moved around, and what was there prior, sometimes it's there, it's in a good location or it's gone somewhere and I don't know. A lot has been done, and demolition, I think outright removal and demolition, what numbers, how I would appropriate that, I don't know.
You know, identification of the trailers has been a real issue in that mobile park. Is it your opinion that 15 have been removed?
I could be made to believe that there are upwards of 15 than the last time I was there. Because there are clearly, you can see, you guys said, replaced trailers that are placed on sticker blocks, that there aren't those trailers about. But there are trailers that I recognize from one place that are now in somewhere else. And I can't really answer this with any clarity because the thing is that things move. But I believe it's within the realm of possibility that 15 trailers are gone. Now, we went to a great deal of expense and time on the county going out there and identifying these 15 trailers. And I would have hoped that they would have started there, because that's why we went to the trouble to identify which ones on clear title that were available. Now, I think the answer, when you say that there are more than that as abandoned trailers, I believe that would be yes. So we had more than just the 15 we identified as usual.
When you say some of the trailers, 15 were just moved?
Some of the trailers in the trailer park sometimes will move around for reasons unknown to me. And We went to the trouble, planning zone, environmental health, the treasurer's office, and myself went up there to identify the 15. I believe of those 15, 4 have been removed or demolished, which I do not know. Other trailers that were not so identified by that group are also gone. And to the answer that you asked, I could be made to believe that there's 15 gone, but I can't prove it.
Okay. Margaret, do you think that there have been 15, and are you telling me that there's no way that you can confirm that 15 have been removed appropriately? Okay. Has anyone, I guess I should have brought this up earlier, has anyone gone around and counted the amount of trailers in the park?
Well, the problem too now is that the frame is here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
There's a pile of stuff here.
Right.
So does that count as
one? Oh, yeah, to the point, yeah.
That's not removed.
No, that's not. Yeah. How many frames are there?
About
6 or 7.
Six or seven? Okay. Great.
Plus the ones that are on the ground.
And I just wanted to bring up a picture here. It's a little challenging. And I'm not going to bombard you with a bunch of pictures for today. I mean, Monday morning, Jerry Moore, the planning development, and I were there just trying to get a grasp on how many trailers were moved. And so back on the northeast corner there, we saw a plume of smoke, and it smelled chemically. It did not smell like wood. I asked Brand if I could go back and look at it, and he said he'd rather not, and that I need to contact our point of contact and his attorney. And so I just kind of left it at that. I think it's safe to say that maybe something that he should not have been burning was being burned. And then I talked to DNR, and they had scheduled an appointment to go up there on Monday. So Janet Gastineau, DNR, was up there around noon that same day. That same spot where you see the smoke coming from, there's a pile of fresh dirt over the burn pile. And it's hard to see, but in the front there, there's one of those little fire dishes with a log in it. And I don't know if that's, you know, a joke or what, but it's, I think it shows how serious this little here is about the fire.
So it's just debris.
It's what?
It's just debris that you're seeing. And it doesn't look like just plain wood to you, it looks like debris.
Yes, well, and appliances, TV, microwave.
Things that you would expect in a trailer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many frames? Do you know how many frames are left? About?
With trailers or without?
Without. Let's just say frames hanging around.
Okay, well, up there, there's 6 or 7.
Plus the ones that are on the mound.
The ones that are on the mound. 7 to 10.
7 to 10. Okay. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
And then, if you could
ask,
can you
bring
the
yes, we'd like to. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Hello, my name is Kenny Fling. I'm the fire chief of Westbury Fire Agency in Kelly. I didn't call last night. Sorry, overnight, so I kind of knew the state of the talk with my assistant chief because his availability to talk to the data a lot better than mine, but 2 weeks ago, I know we were called to a fire at the trailer court. We had 3 trailers laying both at that point. We had 3 parts, a Gilbert and Slater assist us. We threw over 30,000 gallons of water that night. I had 30-plus guys with 3 departments at the park at the fire. 2 of them ended up going to the emergency room, 1 for a hand injury, and 1 just CO level was higher than what they, you know, everybody's back to work, everybody's fine now, you know, because they're both minor deals, but, you know, over that year, I've not done a part since 2000. You know, fire-wise, it's been usually controlled burn that we've been called for, this is no call, and I'll see some coming over where they're called in, we'll open up and bottom the controlled burns, but we see that this one here obviously was it was way out of control. It was going towards high quality old car dealer on the corner. I'm not sure what its business is at this point right now. But we ended up staging there in their back parking lot and going through the street back up there to be able to access that fire that night.
So these trailers were together, I take it? Were they close together, or were they like normal spacing of trailers and they were all three on fire?
They were right one night next to each other. They were in different, you know, the same corner though, as if you opened it, like three that were within 5 feet of each other. There was one that was, I want to say clear on the northwest corner, and there was another property that would be pretty far back, and then there was one farther in, and there was one to the south, probably 20, 30 yards from the first one.
So these were not three trailers that were hooked up to each other or were touching. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, so three trailers are on fire.
Yes.
Do you know why?
But by the time we got there, they were so, you know, they were rolling, and there was fire shooting up out of them, and the surrounding area was, you know, we had to kind of work our way up to the fire out of the ground, the trees, work our way in and get the fire to put out. By the time we got there, it was hot, and then we had the owner, he came in, he had a sealer, he was able to come in and pull some stuff back so we could get some of the fire, because once you get 10 pulled up off of each other, and get the fire completely pulled out, he came in and moved some of the tents on the steel so we could actually get in there to address the fire out. So, say where it started to be near impossible, right, really. I mean, how the fire marked by any means, but...
Right. Is this being investigated?
I don't know. I know that it's been reported to the sheriff's office.
Yes, Margaret?
I spoke to the... the sheriff's department this morning, and they said that they received the information and that they found that there was no obvious evidence that it was arson,
okay.
And so there will be no more investigation at this point.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So, again, I want to keep going on asking you this question because this is going to be very important for us. One of the things that we will have to decide is it that Mr. Lemire and Crestview has met what we wanted them to do, not to have the citations go into violations. These three, as someone who has started an uncontrolled grass fire in my family's place before, and I kind of know what those things are like. Were these trailers all like burning at the same stage? And I know this is not scientific by any means. Did they all look like they were all inflamed, or did one look like it had just started like an hour, you know, 20 minutes before? And
I was the first one on the scene the next day after night, so I was the first one there. But when I got there, I'd say the one that was burning at the same stage, the far north corner of the lot, that was probably the farthest gone. The one that was farthest into the one that we had a hard time getting to, it was more fully engulfed than the southwest trailer. It was pretty well gone. That was the one that I ended up going on a hose line on and helping get that one out. Only got another crew guys coming out the other side. But I'd say there was probably the north one and the south one, and the one that's farther in, right?
How long did it take you to respond to the call? Again, as someone who lives out in the country, or my family lives out in the country, I understand there can be this period of time.
We had a call, I'm sure we were there within 15 minutes.
Okay.
Getting to that area, we had one of the members of the field department, the drive across the department, she was over there with radio, and she was giving us radio telling us what we had. So we were able to call for mutual aid even before we got there, because we knew by the time we got in, up this kind of her eyes on things, they will tell us, you know, that we had some serious going on. We get more people, more water up there as fast as we could.
And who called the firemen?
All that, I got a call from Story County. I'm not sure who actually made the call to them.
Okay.
We were there for, I don't know, I think it was around 9:30, I believe, and period. I have to work at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's my guys here finishing up and they have blues and they want to blues at 4 in the morning. I'm sure the other departments as well, by the time you go back with hose or anything else, you got to clean it, it takes a while to get your equipment back together, back in service again.
Question for you, Margaret. Of these 3 trailers that were on fire, were any of those 3 of the 15 that were able to be?
Yes, there were two.
Two were.
And one of them you can still see the X, you know, the burn mark, but then there's a little part of an X left, yes. My point here is that, you know, one small fire that gets out of control causes Kelly Fire Department a lot of work, a lot of expense, and very dangerous to the residents there. And this small fire on the other side that we saw yesterday could have done the same thing. You know, it's close to the building, it's close to the garage and other trailers. And I think that it's important to get all the residents out before there's any more burning or any more moving or anything. It's just, it dawned on me Monday that this is a dangerous place for people to be living. Very dangerous. And get them out and then continue on with the process of moving.
Whether they're there or not, burning's not allowed in the first place, right?
That's correct. Of that nature, yes.
Right. So there should be no burning, period.
That's correct.
So.
That's correct.
How would you propose that we do this? That we get people out? What would be your thoughts?
Well, you know, they were each offered $3,000 in assistance. Maybe we could go door to door, learn how many are left there, and I admit them to leave before September 15th. If they don't, then September 15th starts to bring back. You know, I just don't think it's a good idea to have those 2 things going on.
Well, as long as there's no fires, then they're not at any risk if there's no fires going on.
Well, they'll be infected.
But that's been there for quite some time.
Yeah, they're demolishing them on fire.
Right, that's when it gets bad. That's when it gets bad.
And then also just the construction activity.
Right.
Right. Can I speak?
Please, if you take the microphone. Yes, please speak. Please speak.
Thank you,
Chief. Thank you for coming.
Community services and teams in our office is working with the relocation assistance. As Margaret said, it is up to $3,000 per occupied mobile home. And I wanted to just give you an update kind of on applications where things are at as we know it. We have been reaching out to the residents there about every 2 weeks if we haven't, if that much time has gone on since we've heard from them on their application. So we're making a concerted effort to get in touch with them. But we do know that one family has moved out. This family's trying to look into demolishing their trailer. You know, another individual was expected to move into another mobile home to rent. We have another individual we worked with today that we learned she'll be moving things out in storage. She's waiting for an apartment to open up. So we've got those 3 folks. We know that there's 2 individuals looking to move their trailers. They've been accepted into other mobile homes, so Golden Park. So they're just working that process to get their trailers moved. 2 other individuals were accepted into another mobile home park. However, they don't have clear title or clear, and their taxes are not caught up. So they've got to get that figured out before they can get their mobile home moved. And another person is looking to move their trailer to Hampton Oaks property. So I think, you know, of that, we know about these 9 people who have plans in the works. I know a couple other people are working on some plans and some things have fallen through for them. So I do think that residents out there they're trying to do everything that they can right now. I think it just takes time to get the plans in place.
Okay, thank you. And as I understand it, that the Board of Supervisors has approved that this money can be used for virtually anything involved with.
Yeah, I can run through the list of what it can be used for.
Could you please, I think it's important that go on the record.
You bet. First month's rent at a new location, as well as up to 3 months of additional rental assistance. I believe I don't have it written down here, and I apologize. I hope I do. 25%. So they say the first month full rent paid, and then 3 additional months at 25% deposit for rent utilities. We can pay off if they have an existing tax balance on their utility, as long as it applies to their address at Crestview. We can pay that off. And it needs to be in the household member's name. A pet deposit or additional rent fee for pets the first month only. Apartment rental application fees. Preparation work, moving, and setup fees associated with moving a mobile home. Costs associated with boarding of pets, storage units, hotel costs, moving company, demolition assistance for owner-occupied mobile homes, and for entitlement taxes, and other items at the director's discretion. We have, so far, as of yesterday, we've approved $1,575.75 for hotel, $15 of gas for an individual, storage unit, rental application, heating, personal expense. Today, as well as we're working with another resident on the inventory storage be set up and that.
Great. Thank you very much.
I don't know how many people total are living there. I do know of the list of residents out there that we received from Mr. Talbot, that the county had received, there were 13 individuals listed on that list, and we've got applications from 12 of those folks.
Oh, okay. Great.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks very much. Okay. Margaret, do you have anything else to say? Mr. Lemire, if you'd like to, if you want to say, take the microphone. And again, if you could identify yourselves for the 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, Bill Talbot, Midrow Law Firm, Ames. My right is Brant Lemire, member of Crestview.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess the biggest thing I want to ask is, going back to our motion, is were there 15 abandoned trailers removed? Okay, well, let me, are you counting how many were removed?
You know what I did? I left my office with my stack of... Let's back up just a little bit. I read a book by Chris Darden, a very interesting book. And he and Marcia Clark were responsible for prosecuting O.J. Simpson. And as I finished the book, he was trying to explain why O.J. was not convicted. And he was not convicted because of overreaching. Overreaching. They tried to take good evidence and turn it into evidence that no one had ever seen before and no one could ever dispute. I see the same thing going on here. Mr. Lemire came to you and said, fine, I give up. I will close the court. And we're still here picking at scabs. So let's do this. Let's talk about what our real goals really are here. We're 15 trailers removed. I have handed you a list of 15 trailers that were taken by our demolisher. He has not fulfilled his obligation on removing all the scrap from the court. There's several frames, a little bit of aluminum, a little bit of steel. But there are 15 out of service. He has signed every junking certificate.
So are you saying that it's the contractor who has not fulfilled that requirement?
There was no 15 trailer requirement.
Hmm?
There was no 15 trailer requirement. When we visited, I told you it could be 5, it could be 7, it could be 20. And I understand you wanted 15, okay? But our discussion was how many could be moved, how many could be demolished. We had 15, but I said right here and explained, it could be more, it could be less. These things are not like flipping a light switch.
What is this like helium diamond? Please, I understand that completely, but you don't have to make that point. I understand it's not easy. But please, make it clear here. At this last meeting, we wanted a good faith effort from your team. And what we required was that at least 15 of the abandoned trailers would be removed by August 1st. That's what our motion was, and that's what we passed. Am I correct?
Well, we kind of based that on the fact that one of you two told us that this contractor could do 5 or so in a day or a week or something like that. It was, so it wouldn't have been any problem if that was the case to have 15 done.
No, I think the figure 15 came from a list of certificates that were already issued. Anyway, let's see what we're doing. We're overthinking this. We have 15 trailers out of service. Yes, the demolisher has 5 or 6 frames on site that haven't been moved to scrapyard. Yes, there's 2 aluminum stands that haven't been moved.
And you need to understand that the reason that that 15 trailer motion was in place was because we've kind of been jerked around in the past. And you haven't been involved. I understand that. You made that very clear. But that was why we requested that. We wanted a good faith effort. Remember, what you wanted was for us to say we weren't going to do anything for 18 months.
I believe our agreement was good faith effort. I would have to get the minutes out and read the exact motion. I've not done that. But my understanding was good faith effort. Now, what are we after here? What are we really after? We want the people to leave the park, correct?
We want our residents to be safe. That's what we want.
And we have determined jointly, the Board of Health and Brand have determined jointly that the best way to do that is give all the residents termination notices and close the park. We didn't get authority from the Board of Supervisors to do that until a few days before July 15th. So, again, I understand somebody's going to say, well, they didn't have to give you authority. But we were requested to cooperate, and the cooperation was we were told, yes, you can now serve notices. So, any holdup in this is shared. We're making the best efforts we possibly can. I can give you more examples about good efforts. We have spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars chasing one resident who refused to be served. We spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars to serve that resident. It's not as easy as just saying a demolisher can take out 6 or 5 or 3 in one day. I believe that Brandt has made more than good faith effort. He's agreed to close the park. He served notice. Notice is effective September 15th. The reason it takes 60 days is because the owners of mobile homes are required to be given that lead time so they can move. So we've served. We've got the date. Everyone has now been served. We've got one fellow that's in jail that was served a little later because we couldn't find him. Again, this is a good faith effort. I had to track these folks down. You know, don't think we haven't been working on this.
Yeah. I have no doubt, but I wish to bring back to the motion, and I will read it to you. Okay, and this was, and I specifically made sure that our Board of Health members were able to agree that this was a motion. Notice of violations are placed on hold. At least the 15 abandoned trailers will be removed from the park by the August 1st, 2017 Board of Health meeting. a time for the park closure will be presented and approved, which you're talking about the park closure right now. Otherwise, a notice of violations will move forward at that time. The way I read that motion is that we have to have proof that 15 trailers have been removed and that you have a plan to close the park, and we have a timeline that we will accept. Otherwise, the notice of violations will move forward. That's what our motion was.
Okay. I have given you signed certificates that 15 units were turned over to the demolition.
But you're not saying they were removed.
There were 15 turned over to the demolisher. There is a small pile of aluminum skin, and there are several frames that have not been removed. The homes are gone. The ability to live in this thing is gone. The walls are gone, the windows are gone. They're off-site. There's a couple frames, there's a pile of aluminum and a small pile of steel.
Did Mr. Lindahl know that they all had to be removed by August 1st? Was he given that information as well?
Well, I don't know exactly what that discussion was.
I would thought he would have known that. It would have been done.
He was supposed to have removed the steel and aluminum Monday. Two were demolished over the weekend. Of course, we can't take scrap in Sunday because there's no scrap yard open.
Right. So what we have in front of us is a list of 15 trailers that were turned over to the person who should be scrapping them, but as I understand it, there's still some debris and frames left from these trailers at the mobile home park. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So what we have to decide is this meets the criteria for the mobile homes being removed? I don't think so. I'm going to put it my word. I don't think that's removal. I think removal is getting them off the premises. And part of this is the debris that can be toxic. That's just one Board Health member.
I guess I agree with John that it's not, they're not removed. So, and it's not what we asked for and that we agreed on.
Let's bring up another thing then. Do you have a timeline for closure of the park?
When I was here last time, I said it would take a year. So we're now 10 months. Now, as far as closing the park to residents, that's done. It's closed to residents. There's everybody that's there supposed to be gone by September 15th.
And if they're not?
If they're not, then we'll have to do forcible entries and detainers.
Can you explain what that process is, the layman?
Well, it could take... Here's our first problem. We've got to serve people. I don't know if you understand how we've been chasing people to get service. You can't do a legal action without service. I couldn't even get one of the person's attorneys to tell me where they were. Over and over, I requested and begged for them to tell me where I could find a person. We chased people all over to get service. Spent hundreds of dollars. Okay, so that's the first problem. FED means I go to the court, and I get an order from the court for the sheriff to forcibly remove the resident.
Right.
But I have to serve.
Okay.
So it could be 3 weeks, could be a month, could be 3 months.
Okay. But the people should be out by September 15th is the time when that will start. They should be out by September, October, by November. The end of November 15th.
They're supposed to be out September 15th.
Right, I understand, but you will have them out by November 15th.
if I can get them served. I can't bring forest soup without service.
And you can start that process right now. I thought that's what you were going to do.
The process has begun.
So they have 60 days from our last meeting, right?
I had to wait for the supervisors to give me clearance to serve notice. And understand, nobody from the supervisor's office forbade me to do it. But I was told by two different supervisors, be cooperative here. We need to know what's going on. We'll let you know how we're feeling. And, so I didn't get clearance until a couple days before July 15th. To serve notice, then it's 60 days notice, so the action has commenced.
Okay.
So you only have one park resident that you have not served. Is that what I heard?
I got service on that resident today.
So everybody, I guess.
Everybody's been served. The one person that has a few extra days is the person that's in jail because they couldn't find it.
Okay.
So it'll be maybe September 30th on that person.
Okay. So in 10 months, the trailer park will be closed, and if things go appropriately by November 15th, there's no one living at that trailer park anymore.
Our goal
is everyone out by September 15th.
Is everyone out by September 15th.
How many people are currently living in the park right now?
There are 12 leases.
How many people are living in the park? Nine people are living in the park. Any children, just out of curiosity? Okay, thank you. How many trailers are
left? No children.
How many trailers are left? Not piles of debris. How many trailers are left? Occupied, unoccupied, I don't care. How many?
Approximately 47.
47 trailers are left. Okay.
So when do you expect those all to be gone?
Our goal is to have everything gone soon enough to have an environmental audit so we can have an auction approximately 10 months from now.
Okay.
See, the difference between what we're doing here and everybody's talked about in the past is we've served notice, there's a contract for auction, we're moving forward, we're closing this place. I understand you're not exactly happy with they're still being framed. There was discussion that people aren't happy because it wasn't the 15 you picked, but this is messy. Some of those 15 that were selected with the exodus, you can't get out of the parking places. These things are 50, 60, 70 feet long. You have to be able to move them.
There's no wheels under them at this point, probably either.
So we have to go in and we have to clean the place of sheeting, skirting, decks, we have to find wheels for them, and we have to be able to get a truck hooked up to them and pull them out. So the 15 you have, they're junkie certificates on all of them, but they're not the 15 that were excellent.
And to be quite honest, our motion did not specify. We just wanted 15 removed. Part of that wanting that 15 removed was we wanted to make sure that we had a good faith effort that things were moving along the way we wanted them to move.
Right.
That was the whole concept. And we have to decide whether that has been fulfilled. Ethan, can I ask you, is your opinion after hearing this, do you think that it has been, that our motion has been met? I hate to put you on the line, but I think that's kind of what you get paid for.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You identify yourself, please.
Ethan Anderson, Story County Attorney's Office. I think what you have here is substantial compliance. You get to the point where, admittedly, there's some debris left behind. But I would urge the board health to think of the big picture. And the big picture is the board health is here to protect life. It says life, health, property, general public welfare. with the residents of the park, that would be a long way, in my mind, towards protecting life and health and property. If that can be accomplished by September 15th, I think that's an incredible achievement, more than the board's able to ring out a grant in 18 months to 2 years. So if Mr. Tell's involvement has gone from no action immediately to substantial action, I think there could be a lot more we can do now moving forward to make sure that these steps are done properly, that the action is done properly, that they're removed in a safe way, and that we can talk about Brandon is accidental or intentional burning, but we can have steps to encourage him to move safely in this disposal, and regardless, 9 people are still living on the tarp. The Board of Health also think about closing the premises, providing a reasonable time to abate the nuisance and then close the premises. That would also go towards the goal of what I would deem a humanitarian crisis, and getting these people out of that environment.
The idea of closing the park, though, would that get the people out any quicker, since we've been down that road before and we're impressed with how much time it gets someone out when we need to close a park?
The Board of Health has the authority under Chapter 55 to close the premises where a public health nuisance exists after a reasonable time to abate the nuisance is provided. So what would be a reasonable time to abate the existing nuisances? So you have nuisance that is accumulations of rubbish, derelict appliances, broken furniture, other solid waste. What's a reasonable time to abate that nuisance? I know that 30 days is probably a reasonable time. 15 days, I don't know. Anyway, we'd be getting closer to September 15th, at least beginning of September. And if those reasonable times have not been abated, then the board may force the occupants to remove and close the premises, and it cannot be occupied again without written permission.
Okay.
You got to think the Board of Health committee and setting milestones or timeline good. Heard Mr. Meemer direct Mr. Meemer to have the notice of eviction served on September 16th. Does anybody remain at the do so immediately?
What? I'm sorry.
If they aren't voluntarily leaving the mobile home park by September 15th, then you could file the eviction on September 16th. Keep that moving to accomplish, like you said, the goal of November 15th.
And that's in 6 weeks from today. Correct.
That gives us a backstop that ties in with what we're trying to do anyway.
I have one question, Mr. Talbot. Do you know or have any idea who started these fires? Was it, you think it was Lindahl or somebody else? Or who do you think, or why did these fires get started the other day when Kelly and Slater and Gilbert were there?
Brandon had a brush fire a couple days ago. Yes, no question about it. I don't think there's anything illegal about a brush fire. I don't think there's any code section that prohibits that. And to accuse him of having appliances in a brush fire with no proof.
I did have an issue.
In the fire?
No.
We're back to the OJ story here. We're overreaching. The mobile homes that burnt down, the Kelly Fire Department came to cure. I don't know how that started. Brandon doesn't know how it started. But I am shocked that there's not more vandalism. I mean, if you wanted to do something to help the folks that live there and help Grant and watch out, you could ask the sheriff to come through more often.
Okay. This is his facility, Bill. And my expectation of any homeowner, any property owner, any business owner, that falls clearly in his domain. So that's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt for the sheriff to come through more often.
They are like anybody else. If there's a need presents itself, I call them randomly, fortunately more random than often, and that exists. But I said my piece.
anyway.
I'm just going to upset you. I'm just saying.
No, Irish guy.
Okay, so I think what we have now is Ethan's opinion about how we should handle our motion, and I don't think we need a motion to it.
I've always been taught you define success, standard, and walk back to where you are. What kind of commitment as far as, okay, we've got the people thing, we pretty much get to where I think we can go there. Let's talk about the trailers. And as far as a commitment on removal of trailers, because if you've got 47 today and the goal is to get to zero at some point to make this a saleable property, what are you going to offer up as a time or a number on a per month basis? Or tell me how you're going to get 47 and not zero.
Well, we're going to have all kinds of problems making any commitment, because we were just told today that nobody wants any demolition going on. They want workers and construction people there. Well, there's people in the court.
Well, how's this going to happen if that's, I mean...
See, I'm getting all these confusing things that are coming at
me. What are you
proposing? I'm being told not to do stuff while there's people there. Isn't that what you're saying?
Who? Is that what our business is asking? Not to do?
Not to do anything while there's people in the court.
What?
Well,
that's what you're asking.
You're telling them not to remove trailers while they're
no.
That's how I missed
said.
That.
Yeah. She said you'd like to see.
She wants everything to
be more demolition going on and fires or whatever because of the people being there.
Well, we did not prove that.
No, Margaret testified. That was what she offered up. But Margaret, do you like to clarify that in light of what you just heard?
In light of seeing a fire in the trailer park, and 2 weeks ago there was a small fire, a brush fire, that got out of hand and burned three trailers, I think it's dangerous to have any kind of construction type or demolition type activity going on while those residents are living there. I think we should put the demolition on hold. However, asbestos inspections could be going on those 47 trailers up until September 15th. Get all your ducks in a row, and that's when those trailers start moving off. But, you know, I'm not out there every day, I've seen three fires. First, one fire, there was definitely non-brush debris burning. I saw that. And I do have pictures of that. And I just think that is very dangerous to have that going on while the residents are there. I'm reversing what I thought before. I thought that this could happen while the residents are there. Now I don't think so, because asbestos has not been addressed, and then because of the fires. I think it's dangerous to have those activities, asbestos removal or trailer removal, happening while the residents are there. I think that...
Isn't there a proper way to remove these trailers and not put people at risk?
What you do is you start doing your asbestos inspection. If they find that there's no asbestos, then yes, that trailer can be moved safely, unless it's a big physical harm,
Can they be moved off site and then that be done?
The demolition be done. I mean, it's just a contractor that has to do demolition there.
There were only two demolished on site. All the rest, and the reason they were demolished on site is because there was question about whether or not it would be appropriate for moving down the highway into Boone County where the demolisher is. So two of them were demolished on site. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting mixed signals. You're agents. Now, I understand you didn't take a vote, but your agent's telling us at this meeting not to do anything. And then you're telling me...
She's offering up advice. I guess.
Right. We have
site.
We
have site. That's the answer.
Okay, all right.
So the next problem we have... I'm sorry, Doctor.
No,
okay. The next problem we have is that the... and again, this is like picking at a scab. Everybody's been calling and calling and calling, everybody in the world, so now the DNR is going to enforce rules that they've never enforced in the history of this county against this mobile home court. They're going to require asbestos inspections before a mobile home is hooked up. They haven't required that of anybody ever. When Alex Gallion closed his court, not a single one of those was tested. Not a single one of them.
Which park was that? Would that have been?
What's the name?
Lincoln
Swain.
Oh, okay.
And because everybody's picking at this, the DNR is going to enforce something that's never been enforced in the history of this county. So we're shut down, okay? You can ask me to move as many as you want, but we're going to be shut down tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to...
Swain went to Brant Trailer Park.
Then we're going to have Brant certified to do the asbestos. Evaluation. So that's going to be more time. So again, I hate to keep saying it's not like flipping a light switch, but it's not. Everything we do opens up another problem. The key here, what's the key? The key is having people out. Because once the people are out, there's not the safety concern that there was in the past. And by the way, it's not a recent past, it's been 25 years. That this has been unchanged. I don't think you can point to anything that's going on out there that hasn't been going on for 25 years.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, anyways, okay. So I think the first question in front of the Board of Health is, do we feel that our motion has been fulfilled at this time? Do we feel that, one, that the 15 trailers have been removed to... Because what I want to make a decision on is whether or not the citations go to violations. And so to do that, we should really keep our word. Do we feel that the 15 trailers have been removed to our satisfaction, 15 abandoned trailers, and that we have a reasonable timeline for park closure? We can talk after that about what we want them to have done by the next meeting. So my question is, do we feel that our motion has been fulfilled? And with Ethan's opinion, which I appreciate. Okay. So that's the big question, and my personal feelings again are I do not feel that the trailers have been removed appropriately, but I feel that after Ethan's opinion that I think we should feel that our motion has been substantial.
His term was substantial.
Substantial.
Yeah.
Completion.
Yeah. And that substantial compliance. And so I would think that that would be, I would, after this point, I think I would be comfortable myself saying that I feel our motion has been fulfilled. And I'd love to hear from other board members if they agree with that. Mark, what do you think?
I think there have been trailers moved off whole, correct?
Yes.
There are trailers that have been demolished and removed in entirety, sacred frame, and there's trailers that have been not by what I heard, but what I saw, I believe this would be substantially met.
So, you think there was 47 left to go, right, after this?
Yes.
And probably none of those have wheels on them either. They are going to be roadworthy.
Well, I was going to mention at some point, you're talking about the residents wanting to use county money to move their homes. They should have already been getting ready. This isn't an overnight process. They've got to remove the skirtings. They've got to remove the decks. They've got to see if they have wheels. They've got to see if they have tires.
You won't have.
They're going to have to. Now they're going to have, because this park is being treated different than any park in the history of this county, now they're going to have asbestos inspections before they even hook their trailer up to move it. That's never been required ever. Nobody's ever done that. Now DNR is going to.
So at this point in time, can these trailers be moved off-site and then the asbestos removed or not?
Not from what we were told by the DNR this morning.
So that is the trailer cart you were referring to. You know that they didn't get the asbestos removed after they moved them off?
The movers have informants, people that hooked up, but they did not have asbestos certificates. Okay, but did that come from the people that own the park? No. Is that competent evidence in court? No. But also, DNR told us they've never enforced this rule before. They're only doing it because of complaints from Story County.
Because of the fires that brought. It's partly due to the fires.
Yeah, really. I mean, I must admit, this has been brought on Crestview. I mean, you might say that, you know, we're trying to do everything we can to make this move along as quickly as possible. Because these things, if back in 2010, if things would have been fixed, we wouldn't be here today. Okay, so my question again to you is, do you feel that our motion has been met?
I guess somewhat substantial.
Somewhat substantial.
I do. In the grand scheme of things, and what the broad groups is here, I do.
Back to you.
We're moving.
Okay.
Slow but sure.
So right now, we'll feel that the motion has been substantially approved, and we will hold somewhat, and we will hold on the citations moving to violations at this time. So now we have to discuss where do we want to go next for Crestview, and so we can move on with the rest of our meeting.
Yes.
What would we expect from the Crestview team by the time we meet at our next meeting, October 1st, or the first part of October, whenever it is?
Oh, I think there is some that by that said there on the 15th.
That's 60 days from the service of notice of termination. And then on September 6th, that's their timeline as agreed upon with the county, puts September 15th as the end of the 60 days. And then my expectation is they would move on September 16th to notice of eviction. So that anybody physically remaining will be physically removed.
Okay.
That would be one thing that I would be looking for. I guess I'm just interested when because the park to me, I break it apart in pieces, and you have a human component, and we have put substantial resources both in the county and in the community we've had more people offering help than we have people to help. It has been an overabundance in that sense. But when the people component stops being part of the story, then we turn to the park itself as far as the trailers as we find them. Because I suspect this is not really a saleable property until it's cleaned up. And even offering a year from the last time we spoke, we're now down to 10 months, I guess I want to jump to the end. Nothing Margaret said was standing. It's just like, somebody want to tell me how the trailers are leaving or when you expect to see them going in the subsequent months and up to the point of sale. And I did a map today and I said, there, look, it's June 1st next year, this should be sold.
That's our plan.
Are you offering that up as a commitment?
That's our plan, is to have an auction by June 1st. But when we have events like DNR coming this morning and saying, don't move another trailer, and we're going to give you a letter tomorrow telling you that, and we ask why, and they say, we're going to do something that's never been done before, I don't know what I can commit. And you understand, this is a big stoppage.
But by September 15th, you will have, for anyone who's not moved out, their notice of evictions will be served by September 16th.
Well, I can't promise when they'll be served. Remember, I've been chasing one particular person. Even their attorney wouldn't help me. I mean, you talk about difficult. They have an attorney who knows where she is every minute. County knows where she's at every minute because she's taking money. And I can't find her to serve her, and nobody will tell me where she is. So,
but when you file with her now.
No, I didn't. I never did find her. I finally talked to her attorney into taking it because I explained that she was going to lose. No matter what she did, unless she didn't accept service.
So I can't tell you when they'll be served.
Will I have the FED notices prepared and filed? I'll prepare them probably on the 16th. They'd be filed on the 17th, ready for service the 17th. I need to know who's there at the 16th. So I can prepare on the 16th. I can file on the 17th. When do I get them served? When do we find them?
Well, you should have everybody but one, it sounds like, by the 15th. Is that correct?
I have everybody served for termination now, yes, everybody.
So everybody by the 15th except for that one that you're looking for.
No, I got that one done today.
You got that one done.
I finally convinced her attorney that she was going to lose an issue, and so she accepted service.
So all the people we should expect by the 15th, everybody's out.
I have one that was served later. That's a person that's been jailed and I couldn't find.
So by the 18th. By the 18th, then.
Certainly by our next meeting.
We'll be filed as soon as possible. We want the people out because folks have been coming in telling them not to pay rent. I don't know if you know that either. All these people that are coming through offering assistance are telling these folks not to pay rent. So we're not having any income. So we want them out.
What about trailers then? How many of the trailers do you think you'll have gone by that September 15th?
None. Absolutely not, because the DNR says that they're giving us papers tomorrow not to move a single one of them.
Does our treasurer have something to say about this? Six of these on this list are trailers.
Six of these should have been gone from this park at least 2 years ago or more.
So six of these were not there when we made our motion?
Correct. They were not titled taxable trailers. But this list has six of them on there that we removed from our taxable in that time. So my point is, there has to be some compliance here. A junking certificate is issued, and 30 days from that, that thing has to be gone. But these things have sat here for 10 years, 5 years, after junking certificates are issued. I'm not sure what they're being used for. But I just want to point out, this has been a struggle forever. So when you're talking about a time frame here, we need to be very specific about it.
Okay. So what we really, you know, so one of the biggest things is we do know that there are 47 trailers now.
Correct.
So if we want 10 more gone by November 1st, we'll be able to go out and count that there are only 37. We now have a number. And I know that moving around trailers and difficulty identifying them have been a big issue in the past. You know, and I do know that that's somewhat difficult. And thank you. Okay.
Where are you going to collecting taxes? Have you got the taxes all collected now?
I did not do anything as far as taxes on the trailers themselves. The 8 that are currently owned by Crestview do have taxes owing the amount of about $1,500 that would have to be paid prior to their removal.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So, you mentioned something, Marty, you want
to... Ethan, you made mention of a park closure, and I know the board, previous to my service on it, had done that. What would we be well-served, or is that an option that you would think that we could entertain, or would it have any... Would it lead to the... My question is that would the board look to entertain imposing another park closure that allowed us to move the park closure?
On one hand, it would be a redundancy on top of what's already happening with the rules of provision. Whether that has merit, it may.
Here's a question. Can Mr. Lemire, if someone comes up to him, can he, and they say, I want to put my trailer here, can he do that legally?
At this point, yes, he could, except I think he's... Hold the board office, close the park.
Right, and you will promise, and you promise he won't do that?
It would be a breach of our contract.
Okay.
If Mr. Mayor brings in new renters, then you enforce all violations.
Okay.
And we have a breach of contract if we're proceeding to close.
I understand that concern.
So, it's just... Okay. Thanks, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, sounds good. So, now, do we have, what would we suggest that we have Crestview tell us that they have done at by September, certainly by our next meeting?
When is the next meeting?
When is October
1st? I would think that we would have virtually nobody is living there anymore. I think that takes into account your timelines of service. Right.
Our goal for October 1st would be to have no residents.
Okay.
Because we have reasonable control over that. No, not complete control. Because you understand they have to get them served, and they have to have a judge set a hearing, and they have to have the sheriff step out and make sure they're gone. So there's a lot of moving parts that I'm not in complete control of. Mm-hmm. But the goal is no residents October 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking September 18th. That they'd be all gone.
Well, that's the termination is September 15th, except for the fellow in jail, and he's got a few more days. I can't do a forcible entry and detainer until they're in breach of the termination.
I would I would accept that there's no one living there at our next meeting, the first Tuesday of October, but I would also add that I would really like, because you'll have the DNR thing worked on at that time, that we'll want a schedule for removal of 47 trailers.
I would like to be kept in the loop on whatever conversations the DNR has with you.
Yeah, I'll get, I'm going to talk to Mr. Burr as soon as possible, as soon as we receive the notice, and I'll get you and Mr. Anderson in the loop about that discussion.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt to have a joint meeting.
Okay.
Great. I would also like to say one of the things that has been suggested, and I would also like to make a motion that we don't want any fires in Crestview. Okay? If you're burning garbage, stop. If you're burning brush, stop. We don't want any residents there put in danger.
Do we have that agreement?
Have that agreement?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So, by our next meeting in October, we will have hopefully no residents living there unless something else comes up. And we will have a schedule of removal of the 47 trailers left. And in the interim, there will be no fires at Crestview. That's my motion.
I'll
start with that. Are we saying by our next meeting or by October 1st?
Well, when, what's our next meeting?
October 3rd.
What?
It's October 3rd.
October 3rd, by October 3rd.
I think it has to be very soon.
Yes, I
do. Doctor, can you just tell me here, because I had a really wise attorney that I worked a lot with that I used to see him write motions out just so he could sit there and parse any words so we don't have to worry about what our motion looks like. So would you please restate?
That by our next meeting, October 3rd, that there will be no residents living in the park. That we will also, by October 3rd, have a schedule for trailer removal, which will need to be approved by us.
Of all trailers?
Of all trailers.
Schedule of removal of all trailers.
And in the interim, there will be no fires at Crestview.
No fires.
Actually, it's probably fair. We'll have no fires started by Mr. Lillard. That's fair. That's a fair statement. Because if someone comes in with a torch,
I wouldn't worry that way, because obviously he can have somebody else come in.
Else come in.
Maybe specifically say this.
No. Intentional fires.
How about just no fires?
No fires.
Period.
I think no fires.
Anybody else?
So what do you do if you do see a fire?
Put it out.
Right away.
Yeah, I would ask that question. If any of these things are not met, are we going to write into the motion what we would do?
See, no. Well, that's the whole thing. Well, first of all, with the fire, that's why fire started by Mr. Lemire. Mr. Lemire has started fires, brush fires, at Crestview, and they've gotten out of control.
I was just by there Saturday, and there was another fire, which I took
pictures of. What?
Saturday,
12/19,
when I do fires and
fire. Okay, well, maybe no fires at all. Okay?
No codicils, no fires.
Okay. And that if not, again, the thing we always have is that the violations go to citations.
Counsel, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, a couple of things. When you say no fires, you not give me any due process, right? I understand you've got trouble working with them in the past.
Well, I get that.
But if somebody
else sets a fire, department has some problems working with it.
If somebody else sets a fire, we've got no control over that. We have no control if we can't get a judge to issue an FED by October 3rd. You have to set the motion within the range of things that are controllable to grant.
I think, as a business owner and a property owner, I'll use a reasonable expectation standard. What would a reasonable person do? I think they exercise control over their property, and that they would be responsible for the actions on or about. And I don't think this is an unreasonable expectation of the Board of Health. No fires. Because I think I would turn you back to the fact, well, how is that going forward? I would turn you back to what's been in the past. Have there been any fires issues here other than what was started by Brandt here?
Yes, the three trailers have burned.
In the past. And that's and once again, I don't even really want to get into what that which was, because I never heard who contacted, who did the 911 phone call. And I did not make a point to ask Brandt, who contacted you? You have a fire. Well, I guess we can do that, but I was going to leave that one alone. But I'm just asking, if we have not had a problem with fires in the past that were not Brandt started, why is this an unreasonable request?
It's not unreasonable to say Brandt will not have any fires. That's not unreasonable.
As much as I hate legalese, and, Mr. Trowbridge does have a point. He does have a point. We could change the motion to be that there are no fires that are started or acknowledged or under guidance.
Getting rid of stuff.
Well, just any fires. So in other words, Mr. Lemire cannot acknowledge any fires. Like, in other words, someone who is trying to remove trailers, they can't start a trailer on fire. Because he's going to stop that.
Especially until all the trailers are gone. If you want to burn brush after all the trailers are gone and everything,
yeah, we'll talk about that. That's different. After people are out.
After people are out.
Somebody made the motion to me about the fires.
So, the motion is that by our next meeting, October 3rd, that all residents are gone from Crestview.
Yes.
Two, that we will have a schedule presented to us for appropriate removal.
All right.
47 trailers, and we'll need to approve that. And that three, there are no fires that are either started or...
Just have a burn ban.
There's a burn ban at Crestview?
Yeah.
Do we have that ability?
If we call it health nuisance for the emission of smoke, not just fumes or fly ash in the air, that'd be something that more health has control over and protect it from.
So I think that's a yes?
Yes.
To our state health, we don't need to burn brush that's generated off the property.
But
it's all wasted.
Yes, but there'll be no burning at Crestview. Started or acknowledged.
So we're gone, all the trailers are gone.
Well, not until October 3rd. Right.
So no.
I don't want to hear any reports of any fires from Crestview. Okay?
I still come about the fact that I wrote down no fires at Crestview.
Yeah.
Is that your motion?
Burn ban.
Burn? Is that what your motion is?
Nathan, would it be better to say it as a burn ban? Or how would you...
I think that's the same effect. I mean...
There's no fires?
That a burn ban be in effect until lifted by the Board of Health.
Would you make those two motions? In the sense that I would say no residents there as of October 1, and we have scheduled removal as one motion, and then a burn ban as a second motion?
That would hurt.
Okay.
All right.
I can move that. We'll move the second question. Okay. So, any further discussion?
Do we want a piece in there about the citation going violation? Because it was in your list.
Well, actually, though, that is always our option. Okay. Still our option at this time. I mean, we could do it now at the end of the meeting if we wanted to. While the meeting is still going. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You don't want to be part of this motion.
No.
Okay.
So right. Your motion is, or I can read it if you want.
Go ahead.
I know you're having quite a discussion, but can I hear you? Go ahead.
I think we should fall back on the contractual agreement by Mr. Lemire not to start any fires. In lieu of a burn ban, we should tell them our necessity protection concerns.
Okay.
And then it's going to be barbecue or who knows what.
Okay.
We don't want to prevent them.
Fair enough.
They can go into this.
Okay.
Well, could you give us the verbiage then? Could you offer the board up what you would suggest?
I'd like to be passionate to say with no intentional fires set by Mr. Lemire or Mr. Lemire's agents on our golf test.
Ooh, that's his good word.
Or Mr. Lindahl.
Well, anyone that he says. Or any of his agents.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, there you go.
All right. Well, let's just use that as a breakup. Or do we want to put them all?
Put them all together. Can you read the motion?
But it is easier for enforcement down the line to break the rules. So this motion was violated, but these two are okay.
Keep in mind that the idea of going from citations to violations is something we can do at any time.
And just like we did today, when some of us were in a little bit of disagreement about whether or not all the trailers, all 15 trailers, were completely removed like we wanted, we were able to fudge on it a little bit. And so this is our motion. So keep in mind that citations and violations are something we can do at any time. So they're standing out there. So, the motion reads as follows, that by October 3rd, there will be no residents at Crestview. By October 3rd, we will have a schedule presented to us on removal of the 47 remaining trailers appropriately, or removally properly removed.
Does 47 stop the process in place, though?
I want to know when the last trailer is going to be removed.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if we say 40, if we're expecting to have 47 trailers there, if the DNR gets allows them to go forward,
that's why I want a schedule for them to give us. We have to have a schedule on October 3rd. When these 47 trailers are going to be removed appropriately?
47 or less.
47 or less. Okay, there you go. 47 or less. There you go.
There's 47
to
put in all the lots, the ones
that
have a lot.
Yep. Everything. He's closing the mobile home park. I want all the trailers out there.
If you're, I'm just saying, if you're specifically saying the number, we need to make sure that number is correct, that includes.
That's what they told us. There are 47 trailers there.
That's the question. How about just saying the fall?
Okay, remember, we should have 15.
Yeah, I think maybe say all.
All trailers.
All.
Okay.
Stephanie just running this out there.
Okay.
Here's the meeting. Make a motion. Stephanie brings it back to us. We have comfort with it. We need it out. Before we go to vote.
Okay. Keep going. So, all trailers. We're scheduling on all trailers being removed appropriately. And then three, Mr. Lemire.
No intentional fires.
Has no intentional fires by him or any of his agents. That's great. So, if you could read that back to us, please.
Sure. Okay. October 3rd, no, by October 3rd, no residents remaining at Crestview. By October 3rd, a schedule will be presented on proper removal of all trailers, and that Mr. Lemire is to have no intentional fires by himself or any of his agents.
Okay. Very good. All right. So that's how it stands. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. There you go. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Question.
Yes.
Is there a fine or something for the trailers that were license pulled and they're in this list that were supposed to be demolished 10 years
long
ago?
Long time ago? I don't know if that's our purview.
I'm raising the question.
Arrangement to be cooperation. And the reason I told the OJ story, we keep picking at this stuff, it's never going to get done.
Well, I'm just raising a question. The issue was raised by the treasurer's office. Some of these trailers, there was, as a point of past cooperation, what is the case with these trailers that were supposed to be demolished 10 years ago?
We have no idea. You have to ask Brad by them, but who knows?
Well, is that a point with the county that he's in?
Well, I was not aware that they were still on the ground until finding them on this list here. Once a junking certificate is issued, they have 30 days to remove it.
And what if they don't remove it in 30 days?
We follow up on it. We take them with good faith. When they have a junking certificate issued, we remove them from the tax roll and we no longer tax it. So all of these that he's gotten junking certificates on, it was our belief that they were removed.
What if they aren't removed in the 30 days?
Again, we don't believe that. We don't monitor that. And we've never had an issue with it. This is the only part where junking certificates are issued and they remain there.
So there's no fine if they aren't removed in the 30 days.
No, but I think he's been using that for
The what? I'm sorry?
Storage. Are they going to use them for storage, or why are they still there?
Again, our goal is to get this off our is to close it. So.
Okay. All right. Good one.
All right. Good. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned.
Could you please not bring up OJ again? Give us any other example.
He's out now.
Yeah, I know. I still remember that.
I remember you mentioned that. I'm worried about the residents that think they're moving the trailers, because as I understand things, they're applying for money prior to contracting the move. I don't think these folks understand the cost and the effort necessary. And I would certainly encourage whoever's working with the residents to understand that they need to plan the move before they spend their money. There are a number of residents that are going to have to catch up on taxes. They're going to have to buy wheels, tires. They're going to have to hire movers. Do they have the individual residents' physical capacity to get the trailer ready to go, or are they going to have to hire people? So whoever's working with these folks, they need to start communicating that this is a very difficult problem.
I don't think $3,000 will hardly cover that part in itself, almost.
Well, that's why people tend to do it themselves.
I think what you're going to find is you're going to just walk away from them.
Hi, Bob, with Community Services. We do know one of the mobile home parks that some of the folks are looking with their trailers to, that mobile home park has their own mover. They have a contracted provider to do that. So they're having that provider go out and inspect the mobile homes, make sure that they are ready when they're able to be moved. So they're addressing that. I do know the individual that was looking to move mobile home to family property and also looking to work with that family contractor.
Thank you. I understand. They still are going to incur the cost.
Yeah. And that the mobile home park is offering to pay the expense to have those trailers moved to their home.
Are these stopping them from moving right now? That's very good.
Yes. Yes.
Any other
concerns?
Yeah, I
want to
just final concern. We're going to need to know the people that get assistance from the county are forwarding the addresses. There have been a great number of people coming out to the park telling the residents not to pay rent, and there was a lot of rent bill. It is common for park owners to rent trailers from being moved when they're rent due. Grant and I talked about that. That is not our intention. But we need to be able to pursue the people for that. So we need to know their forwarding addresses.
And how did you work with that?
Probably soon.
Yeah, I don't know if we
like what
did that. I don't
have that. Do we have any obligation to?
Yeah.
I don't know. Our,
is that, yeah,
do we get that?
I don't know if that'd be considered a confidential record under Article Chapter 22, exceptional records request. It's something I can look into and report back at the next meeting. Whether or not
I don't know if that falls under that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, really. If you could give us your message. Advice on that.
That's
okay.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, you know, there's a similar circumstance going on over in Boone County. And according to the paper, anyway, there was a conflict over there that the park owner was turning the utilities off to these people, trying to get them to move out. And I would hope that would not happen in this case. But I don't think that's our problem either.
So you're saying that you would hope up until they leave that they have utilities?
Yeah, because we had a problem with the utilities in this park. And that's what started the whole issue.
I'm just paraphrasing.
Yeah, the only problem with utilities was a squatter, not a resident
every resident of the park has a lease, and everyone who has a lease has an arrangement with their own electric company for their power. And the water was done in cooperation with the county. The county helped Mr. Lemaire seal off all the taps, and there was a squatter that opened the tap. So there was no utility problem at this park.
So there was.
There was. That started the whole issue.
Yeah, the water didn't have any. That's right. This all started because the chlorine levels are not appropriate. Right. So
as far as removing utilities, none of the people under lease had their utilities removed.
I guess I was just to tease this out a little bit further. I guess it would be my expectations that up until these people leave, that they still would be, if they have water service today and electrical service today, to the last day that they're there, they have electrical and water service. Would that be your understanding?
Grant has no control over their electricity. They have a deal with the electric company.
What about the water? Are we testing the water?
Yeah, it's still tested. It's still okay.
It's okay. Okay.
Yep.
And those that are hooked up to water get water. Yes.
Okay.
That's
an easy one.
It's
a yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So let's move on. Discussion and consideration to request a public hearing to be held by Iowa DNR for the issuance of an NPDES permit for Squaw Valley South Water Wastewater Treatment Facility District. Oh, okay. To an unnamed creek. Well, you know, actually, apparently, if a creek has a name, it changes the status completely.
It does.
Yeah, and we have a creek. Yeah, I didn't know it either. So I was talking to someone about damming our creek at my family's place, and they go, "Does this creek have a name?" I said, "Yes, so does creek." Oh, well, that's
a different story.
I can't deny that permission. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Austin.
Good luck to you. Okay? All right.
Okay. Margaret James, Environmental Health. Squaw Valley Subdivision South is on its own treatment plan. And
doggone it, it doesn't show on here.
No, it's on the Cameron School Road.
Yeah, I apologize. That's the bulk of the subdivision. So the south part of Squaw Valley do not have septic systems. They all drain to their own privately owned treatment plant. Okay. Right, I think kind of where that blue is, right there, just a little bit south of that. I apologize. So it all goes there. And so they need to have a discharge permit for that facility. It goes from the unnamed creek, and it's not far at all, to the Squaw Creek. Okay, so this is important, an important creek. Those numbers indicate the number of bedrooms that those houses have according to Beacon and Sutter. And so from there, I figured out, you know, sort of the amount of wastewater you could expect. And it actually kind of matches what this plant went in, okay? But so their last NPDES expired in 2006, and then DNR now need to issue another one in 2017. So there's been a huge gap where they had no discharge permit requirements. And that is because I talked to DNR, and he indicated that because the rivers are going under a reclassification, they put all of that on hold, okay? So this is now our opportunity as citizens to either voice our concerns or, you know, or we can request a public hearing. And I think it's a good idea at this point to request a public hearing because the proposed permit gives them 5 years to replace the system. And speaking to the DNR representative, I forget his name. Anyway, the DNR representative, He said that it would take about one construction year to replace this plant and 4 years for the permitting and the ding-ding-ding-ding. And I think that that is entirely too long, 5 years for this.
My name is Dan Haug. I work for Prairie Rivers of Iowa, a conservation nonprofit. We've been working with the City of Ames to monitor water quality in Squaw Creek and Lincoln Way for over a year now, and have consistently observed bacteria levels above the standard. So just the past data point we have from this last month, E. coli was at 3,130. The standard is 230, and so this is it's pretty typical. We have really high bacteria levels in Squaw Creek.
Is this just downstream from where this dumps into?
This is at Lincoln Way in Ames. So yeah, downstream.
So it's probably coming from there all the way down.
Sure. That just gives us some concern that we should take some extra caution looking at any wastewater permit discharging into Squaw Creek because it's had such high levels, and this one worries me in particular because right now they wouldn't be protected above those wouldn't be meeting that E. coli standard for discharge until disinfection happens, and then we've got this 5-year timeline.
Have you checked it just on the south side of the bridge there on Cameron School Road to see what it is there?
We don't have a monitoring station there.
You don't have what?
We don't have monitoring data.
Could you monitor that? So we would know what it is right there, closer to the source where it's coming from?
At one grass sample or monitoring?
Well, either or.
What we've been doing is we have an automated station that grabs regular samples so that we can get.
But it dumps in right north of the bridge, right, Margaret? Is that where it dumps in on the north side of the bridge?
North of Cameron School.
Yeah, on the north side of the bridge. It dumps in there, right? I'd like to know what it is right on the other side of the bridge. See what did you grab a sample?
Sure.
Could you explain just that I've been in a wastewater treatment plant, but when the water is discharged, what's in it? What's the process it goes through? And what is normal? What's expected to be?
What kind of treatment is
in that water? Yeah, just.
What are they?
Not in great detail. Just a little more information about.
Is it aerator? Is that what it is?
It's an old.
But it's not working like it should. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, and the association agrees that it needs to be replaced. This is no surprise to them. I'm just not happy. Dan, you're not happy with the timetable for 5 years. I think that's a little extreme.
And so you want a public hearing, basically, so that these concerns can be voiced, correct? That's what you want? So that's what's in front of us now. Whether you want an approval for a public hearing for this.
Okay? Is that correct?
So what's in front of us now is Margaret would like us to make a motion that we have a public hearing for this issuance of the permit for Squaw Valley South Wastewater Treatment Facility discharge.
Request DNR.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Well, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of the fiscal year 18 performance measure for the local public health service contract.
Just short. Kathy Bibby, Maryfield Home Health Services and Story County Public Health. Every year, the local public health services contract requests that we have a performance measure. In the past, the performance measure was normally submitted in either February, March, something like that. The performance measure is just intended to be a story about an event that involved the Board of Health, community partners, and what they were doing to improve a health situation within the county. Last year, it was the Neil John Mills transfer from Mary Billy Home Health to Heartland Senior Services, that's seen as an improvement in service and
cost cutting and so forth. This year, instead of the normal February, March, we have to have something submitted by the end of September. It's a bit of a change, so we're in a bit of a crunch. It does require approval by the Board of Health. The other thing is, in the past, we have received $800 incentive if we did the performance measure report. This year it's a disincentive, so if we don't do a performance measure report, actually have $800 withheld from our contract. According to one of those got that event, our regional health consultant, Heather Bombay, has suggested that we write the story this year on just what we've been talking about, the Crestview Mobile Home Park closure and relocation of residents. It definitely is a community effort. It definitely involves the Board of Health, and it definitely poses a community public health issue. And that's her recommendation. It's a story.
As long as you don't mention the O.J. Simpson trial.
We're charging $800.
I think I'm okay.
I would be supportive.
Yeah, I think that's
it. It would be good to have it. Have it presented in a more public health light.
As long as you can put an end to it.
So I think I'd like to make a motion to approve our public health to use the Crestview mobile home closure.
Write a conclusion.
I would second that. I think it's a worthy cause. It's a great story. I like the audience.
One of these. How would you like to do it?
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. New county regulations addressing new mobile home and recreational parks.
No.
Discussion and consideration of a proposal for new county regulations addressing mobile. It's right here.
Oh, golly. What was
that? Jerry's gone. I think it's you.
It is me. Yeah. I'm so sick of mobile. But, okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, that was not the
record. I have a PowerPoint, I'm not going to do it. All I want to ask for is guidance on whether or not you think that Story County should go forward in adopting regulations for mobile home parks and temporary RV parks.
What type of regulations?
Okay.
If there's a new one come up.
That's
I understand the purpose, but what type of regulations would you be proposing? That they don't burn trailers? I mean,
lot size, vacant trailers, removal of vacant trailers.
Oh, well.
Keeping the grounds, tornado shelters, tie down.
No wells.
Tornado
shelter?
That's
what
they
had.
Tornado shelter?
Yeah.
I thought we had these.
Not for the city, right?
Yeah,
currently,
we don't do anything in the city.
No, I'm saying, but don't they exist in the city? It's the unincorporated areas that this would apply to.
There's nothing popped out right off the bat, but I would try to model it after Ames if I can find one.
Well, within the 5 mile, there was a park that wanted to come in out near where I used to live, and they, when they found out they had to put in a tornado shelter to house everybody that was going in the proposed park, they dropped putting the park in.
Is that right?
So somewhere we must, and this was 10 years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
The state has some rules.
The state does. Yeah.
I would be in favor of having those guidelines.
Okay.
Do you know of any municipality or county that you would look for? I mean, we don't need to reinvent the wheel here.
No. I'd
be shameless in copying anybody that's got a good idea.
Jackson County. Well, actually, I found a good one out in in Nevada. And I know that they are different than us, but trailer parks are trailer park 15. And it's laid out very nicely. And I thought, well, maybe this is more regulation than Story County needs. But after today, probably not. And number two, about 2 weeks ago, I got a call from somebody trying to put his numbers together, needed help for his on-site waste, trying to get numbers together for a temporary RV park. And I thought, you know, this could happen tomorrow, a proposal for a park to come in. I thought, doggone, we're not going down the Crestview Road again.
I agree. I think it would be good to head off this happening again.
Yeah. Just give us some real solid rules.
And we would approve it. We would approve it.
Around,
right? You know, you're not talking, you don't want approval for anything. You just want us to say, go ahead and
look at it.
We support it.
Support looking into it and coming up with ideas, and I'll present it in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And the RV thing, too. I noticed where I've down in southern Iowa, there are a number of abandoned RV parks.
And that's part of it, too, is when they want to close down for good, what are they required to do? They can't leave 47 trails on site. You know, I think we need it. I think it's time. And, you know, of course, I'll get it together. I'll propose it to you guys, and then you'll just have to propose your idea to the board supervisor. So,
I think this is the worthy one. As we had a discussion in various corners of the county in regards to affordable housing, this speaks to that.
Yep.
And the thing is, if you can see well-run trailer courts, we know of ones that are not so well-run. And the thing is, on a standards basis, I guess I have a real comfort and somewhat of an excitement about looking what somebody else has proposed, and maybe that's something we can make ours. I'm loathe being out in the unincorporated bringing coding to us, but I think this is such a specific thing that why would we not at least look? Oh, definitely. I agree.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
No, very good proposal, Margaret. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so we're up to agency and departmental reports.
So
and we don't need a motion. We need a motion.
Well, it said discussion and consideration.
Yeah, do a motion.
Yeah.
Proposal for new common regulation. Oh, so it is a proposal.
It is a
motion. Okay, so the motion is that Margaret James is instructed to look into new county regulations for addressing new mobile homes and recreational parks.
Maybe where you're doing it, Margaret, it would well to look in having something how you close one of these parts.
Okay.
Standard.
Okay,
that will be part of the regulations. Great.
Okay.
All right. Right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Great. Okay. You can show your services. Thank you for being very patient. I appreciate this. Please don't get upset if I tell you to rush it along. Okay?
Not at all.
Okay. We have someone else talking to us. Yes.
Sorry, more about Alex. I just want to do a quick report. We sent in some articles and information to all of you for your information. One of them she sent in was for just an update on how nationally we're dealing with e-cigarette ESG ordinances and how use is going down.
And when did we get that?
It should have been in your packet. It's probably just in the agenda.
Got it. Okay. I did not open it. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. Not at all.
Okay.
Use is going down nationally, being within the county, so that's a good sign. But at the same time, that article that talks about how the traffic and user are continuing to increase their efforts to advertise, especially to youth, by using movies, increasing their business of traffic and movies, especially youth rated. Something that we're working on within the county that the traffic grant that I funded through is working with retailers to make it mandatory that they post a lot of aisle materials in their stores, just because of the fact that it does, you know, advertising, having the power walls, all that stuff does encourage people that are trying to quit to continue their use, creating those urges. And then also she included the IOU survey data. And therefore the last IOU survey, we're seeing use rates go down amongst youth, which is always a positive, and that's large part because of policy like the e-cigarette ordinance that you guys put into effect, as well as ordering that, you know, seeing back throughout the county.
but we're still seeing some fluctuations on the grade, so the grade and the eighth grade used a little bit. But it is
great. Have you seen how much, not to prolong the meeting, but how long
too late
here, really? How do you want it? Have you seen how much of, you know, we keep reading about the opioid crisis, and we're seeing more children, more babies in our NICU having withdrawal. Have you been seeing that at YSS and teenagers, more opioid issues, opioid deaths? Have you been seeing that? That you know of?
Not that I'm aware, they are holding an AIMS PD is, we have an AIMS opioid task force or heroin task force. So everybody's holding a town hall meeting fairly soon to kind of talk about what's going on, what they're seeing, what's trending. So that piece of information is really popping up.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you see, I just put this out there because John's pointing out the fact that we're reading about Boone, but if Boone County, does anybody remember reading that they were talking about having an e-cigarette ban?
Boone County is working on that, yes.
Yes, now we went to the fact that we aged it, but they're actually looking for an outright ban on sale, or what is that?
What I believe they're looking at going from what you guys did was as far as not public places and things like that.
Okay. They're just mirroring what we have already done last year. Okay. I only possibly looked at it, but I thought, boy, they were taking it a step farther because I know we were first.
Right. Yeah, I believe that they're just looking on that kind of following me. I haven't seen the latest draft of what they're working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Register County Public Health. Happy Dale.
Just wanted to let you know that we have two new exciting changes. One is Les White has been appointed to be our director of Story County Public Health, Mary Good Home Health Services, and Mary Good Hospice. She has been serving as the interim director after Kyle Breeden's resignation in April. And she has a long background in public health and home health, so she's going to be a wonderful addition as our director.
What was the first name?
Les White. Les White. And then the other new person we have on staff is Teresa Ferrari. And she'll get to meet her in just a little bit. She's going to get a little report. And she is our new public health nurse. And she replaces Terry Olener, who resigned and moved home. So that's a couple of good things. I'll make the rest of this quick. The fiscal year 17 local health services contract allocation was $222,674, of which we had absolutely no problem spending and using the entire allocation. Next year, unfortunately, will be just a little bit less. We did also receive the incentive of $800 for the performance report of the Bill Clinton Bill, and that was a positive also. The change for the local public health service contract, in addition to the compliance or performance measure, is that the funds in the past have been divided into two areas, both awards of health and healthy aging. And this year they are combining those funds into a group called Essential Public Health Services. The Iowa Department of Public Health is believing that this will make budgeting easier and will also make will increase flexibility in the spending. And in the fiscal year 19, they will be doing a reallocation of funding. They're going to look at a new grid for how they determine which amount of funding each county gets, because instead of having us 2 o'clock, it's going to be one. But for this coming year, that they haven't set up the guidelines for that yet. So, and that's my report. Does anybody have any questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
And with that, I'd like to introduce Teresa Ferrari. She's just going to tell you a little bit about the second
issue. Usually we do have more time. I really apologize. But the last couple have been, so, and probably the next one will be.
I know. I just would agree.
All right, well, I'm Teresa Ferrari, the new Storytime Public Health Nurse, and I just have this magical read here, too. The really annoying thing we had was meningococcal is now required for 7th and 12th graders. And so they said we let the schools know that, and the school nurses are aware of that, and all the parents of that. And then we can kind of slow the summer. I just started about 3-4 weeks ago. So a report that came from May and June, there was 5 cases a month, 1 case of salmonella, 1 case of cyclospora, and then 1 case of crypto, and 1 case of Q fever. 1 case of new
lichiosis.
That's tick.
Yes, it
is. There was one, and then one babesiosis. Right? I did that right. So that's all we have.
Okay. Everything else really changed. Well, very good. And welcome. Welcome to the daily wrap. There you go. The bi-monthly wrap. Okay, Margaret, you have anything else you want to say?
Well, okay. I'm going to whip through my report real quick and I'll just. Thank you. Oh, yeah, okay. No, nothing to add. Status quo.
Okay. Thank you very much.
What about the handbook? Something about the handbook?
That was on the consent agenda.
Okay.
And you already agreed. You already voted on that. Yeah.
That was.
Okay. Right. Comments
from the staff? What's going on at the Ames Country Club?
Oh, good question. So Ames Country Club, they, their system for just the Country Club is up and running. It's an Advantech with a whole bunch of laterals, and then they discharge, they discharge to the laterals. And then, separate from that, the houses on the north side there, they are starting to go in. They will all be Advantech systems too, mechanical systems. They're supposed to discharge to laterals, and it'll be tricky getting those laterals in because it's all filled. They piled up on top of that. So they'll be starting soon, and so that process will. I guess I should say we did get a complaint from an individual on several occasions about dead animals up at the Lincoln Theater, and both of you, I appreciate you chiming in on advice on that.
Where was that at again?
Lincoln Theater, Boone County, Hardin County and Story County line, so on 100th Street, so on the very top. And so a lot of dead, he has a disease problem there, but he's got it under control by now, I assume. But a lot of dead animals are showing up in the bins for pickup. And this person kept driving by, and she was concerned that, with increased disease, there would be increased antibiotics possibly getting to the stream. So we've been working with them on that. So that's just something that you probably need to know.
At the risk of making a long meeting, Bill referred to the DNR making contact with them about Crestview. What do you know about that? I mean, that was news.
Oh, well, Tom Weir, who I thought might make the meeting, he went there by himself, to Crestview, visited them, talked to Grant, even told Grant that, he could possibly take the 48-hour class and become an asbestos inspector and save that money and do all that. And then after he visited there, he came by my office. In fact, talked to me for about an hour, and so we discussed it. It's news to me that has never been enforced before. In their flyer, they talk about in the past several years, there's been 500 asbestos inspections by Air Quality Division of Department of Natural Resources. So maybe for trailer parks, but I would be surprised because. He was very knowledgeable on where you would find asbestos in trailers. One place that he pointed out was on that silver paint roof. That oftentimes the best thing to do with that is when you've got a whole bunch of trailers to stack those roofs because that will all be asbestos material that would have to be handled separately. I'm very surprised that they said that this has never been enforced. I'm very surprised. I don't know if that's true or not. And
I guess to me, does it really
It's never been enforced. I think what it probably meant was not in this county. Really, I agree with you. It's like, it's never been enforced before. Well, too bad. It shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Comments from the board? You want to talk about?
Keith Morgan and I had a visit here at the end of last week, and he talks about us, and we had started this little conversation here this spring. We kind of let it lay dormant in figuring out a topical structure and provisioning of the structure for our insertion in Board of Health matters within the county. And he would like to see us reengage. We now have him with the new...
Less late.
Yes. We have a new person who is our contact, and we just need Keith, I think, wants to go forward. Jamie Weider and I have a tabletop exercise here to talk about a mass casualty event involving a large LP tank explosion at an Iowa State football game. Where Keith thinks these things up, I do not know. Well, I got Jamie Weider, but Keith, you know. Keith is just, that is his, the scenario, and we're going to kind of tease out some issues there, because that's one of the things that we hope to get a little bit more foundational content in, and then put it on the shelf and let it really ask me.
One of the things that Kristen and I have been talking about about this issue is you know, this concept of Mary Greeley Medical Center has been, through Homeward, has been making this plan. Well, their question to me, as I was talking to Neil Les before he, the vice president of the hospital, before I picked Les White, was his point was, well, why do we do this? Why are we doing it? And then we were talking, well, here we have Keith, who is a consultant. Why doesn't he do it? So we're kind of wondering ourselves whether or not, and I think
that's sort of why we've been letting it lay dormant, because we were waiting to see who they would hire.
Obviously, like myself, has been out of the loop, and he just thought, well, we work in the same building at Marty. Downstairs, I wanted to talk about the Dr. Weider thing in addition to throw that back, because we were going to have a meeting here coming, and thought at some point just throw that out there for just to get a sounding of everybody to see where on a re-engagement, you know.
Well, one of the things that we will is on our radar is to sit and have a meeting with Keith.
Okay.
And just say, ask him that question.
Do you know, so in the meetings that I've had with Keith, so he did reach out to the other public health departments and got some good information from them about plans that they've written up, so we have some resources that way. But Keith keeps telling me I have to take a back seat, you know, I can't take the lead on this. Why is that?
He's told me that several times that he cannot take the lead, that he can only serve as a consultant. There you go. Now that's what we got.
Okay. Well, it was just one of those things, because I think, and we saw this come out of the exercise this spring with the tornado drill that we did, full day tornado drill, that you find that whatever we have is modest at best.
Yeah.
And only partially applicable, and you're not provisioned, and there's many, you get left with a great many, oh, I should have known this, or I should have done that. And I think that's where he would like to go, in the sense that he's a guy that I think he likes to eat help.
Very much so, yeah. We were at an IDOLS foot and mouth disease exercise together about a month ago, and there's a little bit of detail to be desired.
Yes, I love you when the comedy said, what if me out of our time zone?
I
admire his intellect, but he has the ability to follow a discussion all the way out to the point. It's just like, I can't even see where we started. So
I guess my concern is that certainly we need to have input on it, but I don't think any of us have time to sit down and write an emergency response plan. I can speak for myself that I do not have time to do that. I am happy to give input. I'm happy to.
That's fine.
You know, but I don't have time to do that. And I think maybe it sounds like from your discussions that don't know that Mary Greeley writing it is the best thing either.
Well, every time, just knowing how the hospital works, every time they have a new group of administrators, they always look at, well, what should we be doing, what should we not be doing. And this is how the hospital runs, and they're always trying to cut costs.
Could we, I would propose that we bring Keith to us for the next meeting?
I would actually propose, if there's no objections to anyone, that we should just meet with him. I'll try to get a little bit more information from Les White and get her thoughts.
Okay.
And that I think we should meet with him and ask him that question. Why can't you do it?
Okay, that's fair. I just, you know, restart.
Because I don't think coming in front of all of us, he might have a perfectly good reason why he can't or why maybe he doesn't. Resources or whatever.
Sure.
But I'd like to ask him that question directly.
Fair enough. And if you so choose to take that on, I appreciate it.
She's taking your guidance.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. Mark? I have nothing. Okay, I was going to have a joke about Boone and tornadoes, but I decided since they can get the audio recording, I decided not to.
Somewhat substantial.
Yeah, somewhat. Tell us about OJ.
Oh my God.
Well, he deserved that.
I don't know anything.
John.
Okay, I'd like to.
The meeting is. I am so
adjourned.
I'm talking about this.
Good meeting, guys.
Why don't you ask for our meeting?